Well, good morning. I hope this day finds you well. Excuse me. My hope is that each of us would recognize Jesus' gentle presence. They would receive from him his tenderness. That you would take the time to ponder, to reflect, to kind of soak in his ridiculous love. So I'll wait a minute because I got on a smidgen early. But with that, I would say, Jesus in this moment of, he's in a frustration sandwich, let me put it that way. So at the top end, he has this ecstatic reunion with Elijah and Moses. He has his father show up. He's got the three men who are closest to him get to witness this with him. Gets down off the mountain, and he finds, with great frustration and some ire, that the rest of the disciples were arguing, that they were fighting about something, that they had misconstrued the very thing that Jesus had done with them and for them in regard to delegating some of his authority, what that authority was for. And having to restore the dignity of a father and a boy that was stolen not only from the demon, but from the behavior of the disciples and the Pharisees. So that's frustration, piece of bread number one. The meat is actually in the middle. And it's verses, they're somewhere in Luke 9, and it's verses 43 and 40 through 45. And it looks like this. Well, here comes my granddaughter again. Hello, little girl. How are you? You want to say hello? This is two in a row. You get to say hi. Say hello.
Hi.
You go about. You want to go help the girls get ready for school? Can you do that? All right. Love you. Go help Nini. So the meat of the sandwich is not actually the miracle or the instruction that's to come. The meat of the sandwich is Jesus declaring one more time the mission, the reason for his coming, what he was here to accomplish, his Father's will. And those are verses 43 to 45. So let me pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your character. I pray, Jesus, we would look more and more like you, that we would submit ourselves to you and we would see you and adore you and be astonished by you. And then be both humbled and surprised that you would enable us to be more and more like you. That when you do pop out of our pores, Lord, we are glad and astonished and humbled. Amen. Okay, so here we go. So it says this. It says, while everyone was still marveling at what Jesus had just done, he said to his disciples, here's the meat in the middle of the sandwich. Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of men. In other words, he's going to be giving his life for the many. He'll be giving himself up. Here is the love of the Father expressed by the Son. Not that the Son didn't have the love, he did. It is that his love was the same as his Father's. And this is what he's trying to display. And it would culminate, it would apex in his giving his life. Dave is seeing somebody out front. It's just one of those days today. Well, there's the meat of the sandwich. In other words, the reason for his coming. He's bringing everything to this moment and trying to get the disciples to recognize it. And as we read it, ours to recognize too. So listen to what he goes on to say, or what it goes on to say. He says, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them so that they could not grasp it. And they were afraid to ask him about it. So we've talked about that concept before, the vagary of God's word, and sometimes how God would actually step back. Jesus would say something, or the word of God would say something, and he would step back, and we're left with this wondering, or this pondering, or this need to continue to chew on. That's what he wants from us. He wants us in relationship, right? Well, the other piece of bread comes next. Look what it says, verse 46. Now an argument had started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. So Jesus pours his heart out, reveals to them what was going to happen, expressing to them the essence of his coming and the coming of the kingdom. And all they could do is argue with one another over who would be the greatest. The interesting thing about this is the very argument that the disciples were having with the Pharisees. Whose technique is best? Who actually has authority? Who's going to have more success? Well, the argument trickles right into the disciples. And in this particular case, it may very well be that the three were being envied by the nine. The three might have been a little haughty in the presence of the nine. It could be that the three being chosen to go with Jesus saw themselves as having a special place in Jesus' life, and the nine were jealous. And so they'd argue among themselves. They would completely lose sight of what it is that Jesus was doing, what he'd come to do. So listen to what it says. So an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. I love this picture. Jesus, in public apparently, gathers up a child and brings them near. And he begins to express the nature and the character of the kingdom of heaven. And he does this in the face of this consternation, both the anxiety of having to explain to them what is coming and seeing it on the horizon. He's human, remember. His anxiety peaked where? In the garden, not too long after this. Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass me by, but let your will be done. Sweating blood. What happens here? And then the argument over the nature of servitude that Jesus had been teaching them and demonstrating to them over and over and over again. And yet something happens. Philippians 4 says this. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Listen. Let your gentleness or your tenderness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And he goes on, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be overwhelmed, overcome. Do not allow your circumstances that you're currently going through to be so inflated, so blown out of proportion, that it eclipses God in your thinking, in your believing, in your trusting, in your knowing. What is so tremendous to me here in terms of what we can learn from Jesus, the lesson, certainly. Listen to the lesson. He says, he goes on to say, he takes the little child and had him stand beside him. Then he said to the disciples, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who will be the greatest. What is it that we see? First, certainly the lesson. If you want to be the greatest, you need to be the least. If you want to be the master, you need to be the servant of all. If you want to be perceived as the oldest, then act like the youngest in terms of honor. Edify one another. Have a sober view of yourself and think of others as being better than yourself. Don't look only to your own interests, but the interests of others. This is peppered throughout the scriptures. Jesus demonstrates it perfectly. So that's a lesson to learn, and we need to walk away humbly and go, okay, it's time for me to shrink. It's time for me to edify. It's time for me to lift. It's time for me to pray, serve, wash the feet of another. It is time for me to see you and your welfare as being more important than my own. As we look at our own interests and we carry our own loads, we're to watch each other, to help each other carry our burdens. When we see someone's sin, we're to cover them with a deep and sincere love. And when we see them at a distance, we run to them and gently restore them, being careful that we ourselves are not tempted, humble and meek. This is the nature and the character of the kingdom, and this is what Jesus is trying to say. He's telling, here's the meat. I'm here for this reason, but understand you're going to go on, and there's a way I want you to go on. There's a way I want you to do what it is I'm asking you to do. There's a way to express your sincerest affections in a way that declares that you know me, that I am in you, that you're being changed and transformed, and that you trust the Heavenly Father. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. His kingdom is coming. He is in you, and you carry him with you. Therefore, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Don't allow yourself to be eclipsed. That your circumstance and your anxieties, the thing that you're most concerned about, would become the thing you fear. Because the thing you fear the most is the thing that you will become. It is the thing that you serve. It's the thing that lords over you. So he goes on to say, or Peter would go on to say, don't be afraid, don't be frightened. Instead, set Christ apart as Lord. In other words, don't let that eclipse Jesus. Don't think that this thing can overcome him. Fear the Lord and place him on the throne. That's the whole concept here. So, what is he saying now? What's happening? So Jesus, in his frustration coming down the mountain, and his anger at the disciples, and his being prudent with how he behaved in light of the crowds, because he's perfectly wise and prudent. Now that more, he shares his heart. Now there's more frustration that the disciples, it was almost like he had to say again, how long do I have to be with you? Didn't I just say this to you? Bring that boy to me. It's like it's echoed in the sandwich. Go back and look at the beginning of the story. But I think the thing we can learn too with regard to how we go. So we go and we recognize from an attitude perspective and how we love others. We're to serve and make ourselves nothing. We're to be the least of the least. Not self-demolishing, no. Just a recognition that I am a child of mercy. No. The idea is to lift others up, to edify them, to encourage them, to embolden them, to give them space to heal and to grow. So what's he say now? Well, how do we go about it? Well, I love the phrase, knowing their thoughts, and probably this isn't the first time, might be perturbed. He said to them, he took a little child and he had him stand among them. What does this connotate? Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let the tenderness of your heart be the expression of your being. Do not allow the anxieties of this world or your ambitions to overcome the character of Jesus in you. The recognition that you are a child of mercy, that it is by grace you have been saved, that now the mission in front of us is not just something we do, it has everything to do with how we do it and the manner with which we do it. And to do it tenderly and mercifully. Hi, Pumpkin. How are you? All right. Grandson. And that's just it. The sandwich is Jesus dealing with the ineptitude of the disciples. In the middle, he expresses to them, you need to know what's coming. Through all of it, you see this, his tenderness emerge. His tenderness with the Father, his tenderness with the Father's Son, and then his tenderness with the disciples, and then his tenderness with this boy and the expression of the nature and the manner of the kingdom and how it is we're to be. Somehow Jesus allowed his gentleness to be evident to all. May that be true of us. Not just that we go about the business, employing the strategy, accomplishing the thing, but that we realize there's a way and a manner to do this. That is an expression of the very character and the righteousness and the nature of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness and tenderness, mercy. And that the things that frighten us, hi buddy, the things that overwhelm us, the things that, I love you sweetie, the things that disrupt us and interrupt us, ought not overwhelm us or eclipse God or his nature in us, but they would turn and be tender and gentle and merciful. And when we're not, they would see it. We would recognize it. And that we would ask forgiveness. And do that tenderly. It's a tough thing. Anxiety, fear, anger, pride, ambition, all of that stuff can keep the fruits of the Spirit and the nature of Christ from rising up in us and out through us. So when we see it, I've been alerted to it. It is ours to join him in it. Not being frightened, not being afraid, being very careful of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but now set Christ apart as Lord. To have the same attitude as Jesus, who himself, being God, did not hold down to that, but made himself nothing, a servant. There's the other meat. There's the other piece of bread and this incredible sandwich that we're learning in Luke chapter 9. May we walk out today seeing Jesus' sacrifice, his willingness to go to the cross on our behalf, but how tender he is on the front side and the back side, revealing to us, yes, the kingdom of heaven is coming and it will be yours, but there's a manner and a way which I would have you go. Be tender. Be gentle. Be careful. Let your gentleness be evident to all.